World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I'm gonna stick my toe in it today. I'm still doing a little bit of research in it. Still sticking my toe in it. You know, they say doctrine divides, right? Doctrine divides, and it does. It does. That's it. What was it I said the other day? 44,000 different denominations, and what are the denominations? What are they based on? About theological views. A lot of it being end time theological views. A lot of different ones. And I'm going to try to, let me back up a second. I've told many of you that I was raised Catholic. Not that that's neither here nor there. I quit going to church really when I went to college, like most people did. And I got radically born again in 1988. So I was from 1971 when I graduated from high school until I went to college from 71 to 75, from 75 to 88. I got it written right here in my Bible, in fact. Show you the date. Well, I won't show it to you. I'll tell you the date. I found Jesus at a church on January 28, 1987. So for 16 years, if you'd asked me as a Christian, I didn't have any idea what it meant. And theology didn't really mean a whole lot to me. And then I ended up going to this church and getting saved at this church. And next thing I know, I'm hearing about the rapture and the end times and all the stuff that when as a Catholic, I'd never heard anything about it. And I don't want to say I fell into that belief, but you believe what you're taught, right? You believe what you're taught. And it's been over I'm 72 years old now. So I was 38. That's a long time as a Christian. And can I tell you the truth? I still ain't got all this stuff figured out. And if you think you have it all figured out and your belief is the right one, even though there's all these other different kind of beliefs, then I think, it is what it is. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Before I get there, if you're local at all, on the July 3rd coming up here, we're going to do the fireworks over Buckeye Lake. And just want to invite anybody who wants to come. Bring your own Coke, bring your own snacks and something to share with everybody you want to. And about 7:30, we're going to gather up there and watch the fireworks. Just want to say, Coach, you don't know who's going to show up. Yeah, I don't know who's going to show up. I don't know. So love for all of you to be able to join us. I think that's the last note that I made. Anybody have anything for the good of the group before I dive in here real deep? Because when I get rolling here a minute, I don't want to get distracted. Because I'm taking a real risk today in trying to explain some things that a lot of us don't understand. Anybody, good to see Jeff Nell back in here with us. Jeff, pray that you're doing well. We have a lot of people come and go. It's all okay. Anybody? Huh? Anybody good to the group? Got anything you want to throw on the table real quickly? Yeah, I guess.
Hey,
that's
I just was wondering if anyone would like to help my son out. I'm sure it would greatly appreciate for those two twins that are coming. And it's amazing that it's coming there, or funny, I don't know which. September 11th is their due date.
What do you mean help them out, Betty?
Just help them, like, with maybe shampoo or Pampers, or if they just like to donate something to them, I'd really appreciate that, and I know they would.
Where do you do that? Where do they do that, Betty?
I put an Amazon link in the chat if they would like to just use that. Okay. And it just would be greatly appreciated they do if they want or not.
All right, when's that baby coming, Betty?
September 11th.
September.
Of all days.
Oh, boy. We're having another one here, too, in the Dobenmeyer house. I think I told you our daughter Maggie's with child, praise the Lord. And so keep expanding, man. Keep expanding.
Well, then, we need to help them out too, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what we're all supposed to do, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, let me get back on track here. Not that you got us off track, Betty. It's not what I meant. What am I looking for here? This crazy thing keeps happening to me. I keep losing my links in the morning when I put all my links together, and I lose them, and I don't know how the heck that happens or not. I don't know. So here's what I want to get at. Where is it, Coach? I'm trying to find that thing now. Hey, Spencer, I'm going to send this to you real quickly. And then I'm going to, because I haven't sent it to you before, I don't think. If I did, I did. God, this is crazy. It's crazy. You know, we're fighting. Here it is. Ben Spencer coming. Somebody's texting me. I hear it blowing up. Coming to you now. Okay, cool. I'm juggling here this morning. I got a text. I got to look at real quick. Hang on. Okay. So here we go. You ready? Sitting down. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. It's really kind of interesting. It was very interesting. I was looking for the clip this morning. Ted Cruz and Tucker Carlson were having a discussion about what's going on in the Middle East. And Ted Cruz brought up Israel and our desire, our need to defend Israel. Tucker Carlson and Senator Ted Cruz clashed over Israel, Iran, and U.S. foreign policy. Let me stop right there, folks. Even though we say that we are a secular nation, we're not a Christian nation, you would all agree with me, would you not? That most of our foreign policy is built on a Christian ideal that Israel is God's chosen people. Would everybody agree with that? Have a hard time? Anybody? Huh? Anybody disagree with that? The Jews, Gentiles, whatever, a lot of elected officials are all representing Israel in Congress, right? Stay with me. So Tucker Carlson and Senator Cruz clashed over Israel, Iran, U.S. foreign policy. The whole interview, more like an informal debate, was entertaining, but the most intriguing part of it was when Cruz talked about the alleged biblical foundation of his support for Israel. Well, I usually write about economic topics. I'm wading into some theological waters here because I like Senator Cruz. I'm an evangelical Protestant. He didn't refer to it by name, but the view he was espousing in his interview reflects dispensational theology. I'm going to go there this morning. Hang on. My purpose in writing this is merely to show that not all evangelical Protestants espouse dispensationalism, and that there is more coherent interpretations of Scripture through the lens of covenant theology that does not lead to a dangerous U.S. foreign policy. Hang on a minute now. Relax. I'll tell you this. Whatever your theology is, you learned at your church. We know there's already 44,000 different denominations. So here, without showing the whole interview, I would have done it at the end if I could. Here's what Ted Cruz said to Tucker Carlson. It's pretty amazing. Cruz, when I came into the Senate, I resolved that I was going to be the leading defender of Israel. Now, hang on a minute. What? You ran for Senate to defend Israel? And what you didn't ask is why. So let me tell you why. Ted Cruz espousing dispensational theology. Stay with us. You're going to be glad you stayed. Hang on. The reason is twofold. Number one, as a Christian growing up in Sunday school, I was taught from the Bible, those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. And from my perspective, I want to be on the blessing side of things. This is Ted Cruz about 3 days ago, maybe 4 days ago, right? He says, we're putting American troops in Israel because why? The Bible tells us, okay, with me, stay with me now. The Bible tells us that those who bless Israel will be blessed. And Tucker Carlson says, huh, where's that? Look what Cruz says. I can't find it for you. What? I don't have the scripture off the tip of my tongue. You pull out the phone and Carlson says, it's in Genesis. See, they're referring to one of the most important passages of scripture, which God makes a covenant with Abraham, whose name would later be changed to Abraham. Here's the scripture. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go unto your country and your kindred and your father's house and the land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I'll bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Look, I'm treading on really, really, I'm not trying to make anybody upset. Okay, look, come on now, relax here, relax. Because there are a lot of people who are watching right now who don't even understand what dispensationalism really is. Would anybody be brave enough to say, yeah, that'd be me. I don't really have it all figured out. I really don't have it. I don't really have it all figured out. Excuse me. Third paragraph down. Dispensational theology is relatively new. What? Dispensational theology is relatively new, originating in the 19th century. Its adoption by many in the U.S. can be attributed to the Scofield Reference Bible, published in 1909. And Scofield Reference Bible teaches that God dispenses grace and reveals himself in his distinct ways for distinct people over distinct periods and distinct places. For example, the Abrahamic covenant applied to certain people, Jews, in a certain place, Canaan, starting with Abraham and lasting until Moses. And that leads to the conclusion that God has separate plans for Israel and the church. The covenant theology explains that after the fall of Adam and Eve, God made an overarching covenant of grace wherein he freely offered unto sinners life and salvation through Jesus Christ. This is getting boring. I don't want it to get boring. But I got to show you some stuff here this morning, all right? Bear with me. Oh, I do have it. So let's go to number 7. What is dispensationalism? Friends, do you guys understand this? That for many people, the only reason we are in the Middle East is to defend Israel. That is a theological perspective. Now look, some of you in here have that view. That's okay. But understand that there are alternatives to it. That it's not just the correct view, okay? So what is dispensationalism? Dispensationalism is a theological system which affirms that Israel and the church are distinct. Israel refers to the physical descendants of Abraham. This is dispensationalism, friends. The church refers to Christians from the day of Pentecost until the rapture and second coming of Christ. Dispensationalism holds to a more literal interpretation of biblical passages, especially the Old Testament prophecies that pertain to the nation of Israel. The English word dispensation is used in Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Okay, now hang on. I'm not going to explain all this to you. I'm going to give you some alternatives to dispensationalism. Ted Cruz is a dispensationalist, meaning he believes in the covenant nation of Israel, okay? But there are alternatives to it. Let's go down through these quick spins. I'm not going to get into them. There's covenant theology. In contrast to dispensation, friends, look, these are both normal, acceptable theological views. Do you understand that? Okay? This is not one's way out on the left, one's way out on the right. This isn't like Mormonism. This isn't like some of the other cults. This is standard, straight stuff. And I want you to understand this, that Ted Cruz just told us that we're in the Middle East right now to defend Israel. That's what he told us based on dispensationalism. Covenant theology, in contrast to dispensational theology, affirms there is more continuity between Israel and the church. The church does not replace Israel. Rather, the Gentiles, non-Jews, are grafted into Israel. So covenant theology is a Betty Perkins became a Christian when she received Christ. She was brought into the kingdom of God. she was brought into the family. That's covenant theology. Replacement theology affirms that the church replaces Israel. So I'm going to look. It's boring to go down through this. I'm going to put it in the chat. Here's a history of dispensation. Look, now, friends, look. Dispensationalism is what? The soon coming rapture of the church, Israel, all of that focus. Did you know that that is a relatively new theology, which Ted Cruz just espoused? And by the way, many Christians believe. Okay, it could be true, it could not be true, but you need to understand that not every Christian believes in dispensationalism, okay? Folks, you can be a Christian and not believe in the nation of Israel. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. So here's the history of dispensationalism. By the way, we're in the Middle East because of dispensationalism. Everything that's going on over there right now is because dispensationalists believe that the nation of Israel is going to be where everything is going to climax. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm saying that's the theology that has us there, okay? Am I doing okay? Classic dispensationalism was articulated by John Nelson Darby in the 19th century. There was no dispensationalism. Darby is sometimes referred to as the father of dispensationalism, which is what Ted Cruz believes in. It became popular primarily through the Schofield Reference Bible in the late 1800s and the Dallas Theological Seminary, founded in 1924, began training pastors in classic dispensationalism. How many of you will say, I never knew that? I never knew that. 1924, Dallas Theological Seminary, and Chuck Swindoll, all of those guys that came out of Dallas Theological Seminary were taught an 1800 Dallas theology. Now, revised dispensationalism was articulated by Charles Ryrie in a Ryrie Study Bible and John Walvoord in the 1950s Dallas Theological Seminary. And progressive dispensationalism in the 1980s has been advocated by Celsine. A lot of people are doing it, okay? Are you guys with me? Dispensational theology remains popular in evangelical Christianity, particularly in the Baptist circles. I could be wrong. Any Lutherans out there? I think if you walk into a Lutheran church, you probably don't believe dispensational theology. I think if you walk into a Presbyterian church, you probably don't believe this. I'm just guessing here, right? Remember, there are several different end time views, and all of them are acceptable, okay? There is variability in details of the system of thought. Sermon on the Mount, fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant to the church. But there are five essential beliefs that characterize dispensational theology. Look, I'm not going to go all along. I want you to know this, okay? Here are the five core beliefs of dispensationalism. Hey, Betty, somebody ought to make me feel good and say, Coach, I never knew this. And would anybody say that? I never knew this. I don't feel like I'm wasting everybody's time. You were taught the theology in your church. You thought the theology in your church was the only theology. But it isn't. There's 44,000 different theologies. But in America right now, we are going based on our loyalty to Israel. Let's stop us. Time out. Right or wrong? Would we be in the Middle East today if it wasn't for Israel? Just ask yourself that question. Would we be in the Middle East today if it wasn't for Israel? And then people who believe dispensationalism, and that's okay, say, well, Coach, we have to go there and defend them because that's where Jesus is going to return. Yeah, they're going to build a new temple and blah, 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 blah. Okay, so hang on. Five core beliefs of dispensationalism. I'm not going to get too deep in it. And please, we're not going to start a fight. I want you to just understand there are different views, okay? So number one, the New Testament cannot interpret Old Testament passages by violating the original authorial intent of the Old Testament writers. Or evangelical Christians interpret the Old Testament in two ways, okay? Using the Old Testament passage as a starting point, dispensationalists interpret the Old Testament by looking at the original authoritative intent of the Old Testament writers. And the New Testament may shed light on the Old Testament. This is getting so deep. Going down. Okay, number two. Let's go number two. Number two, the church's identification as the seed of Abraham does not nullify God's promise to the believing Jewish seed of Abraham. This is dispensational teaching, right? Dispensational. I could be wrong. Somebody help me out here. Dispensational teaching would say that all the Jews are going to be saved because they're Jews, right? The rest of us have to come to Christ. So the Bible uses the seed of Abraham in four ways: biological descendants, the unique seed of Abraham is the Messiah, righteous remnant of Israel, and believing Jews and Gentiles in a spiritual sense. Going down, dispensationalists believe the church is the seed of, they believe the church is the seed of Abraham. Number three, the church is not the new or true Israel. Israel and the church are distinct. This is so deep. Go to the next one. I'm not going to. Number four, Jews and Gentiles have spiritual unity and salvation through Christ alone. But God maintains a future role for the nation of Israel. Everybody can be saved, but Israel is the central part. That's one of the teachings of dispensationalism. That's why Ted Cruz has this in the Middle East. God's relationship with the church differs in some way from his relationship with Israel. So according to dispensationalism, I'm not trying to insult anybody, Israel is more God's favorite than just us regular Christians. Is that a fair thing to say? I'm not a fair thing in that you believe in it, but would that be a fair characteristic? That the Jews somehow are going to get saved some other way? And we Christians, we're sort of like a stepchild to the Jews? Wow. Jews and Gentiles have spiritual unity and salvation through Christ alone, but God maintains a future role for Israel. That's why we're in the Middle East. Number five, then we'll shut up for a minute. Go number five. God will save and restore Israel. These are dispensational teachings, okay, folks? God will save and restore Israel as a nation with a unique role and identity in future millennial kingdom. Many non-dispensationalists believe that God will bring about a future salvation of Israel. Dispensationalism's distinction is the belief that God will bring about a future restoration of the nation of Israel. And the Old Testament promises and prophesies regarding the future nation of Israel are interpreted more literally. Okay, I'm going to stop right here. Let's stop. There are many, how do I say this? There are a lot of end time, different kinds of end time views. I Googled to try to find out what percentage of American Christians believe in dispensationalism. It appears to be about the neighborhood of 60%, most of it in evangelifish churches. The modern new evangelifish churches believe more in dispensationalism than the Baptists and the Lutherans and the Methodists. Am I doing okay here? This is so confusing that we would understand this. So I want everybody to understand this, that we are in the Middle East today, as Ted Cruz just told us, because it's our Christian obligation to defend Israel. With me? With me? Well, that's not true. Well, that's not true. God, I'm all over the place. I got some good stuff. I'm trying to figure out how to pull it up here. Let me ask you this, without sounding anti-Semitic. Is the Jew a more favored child of God than me? Come on, folks. In fact, the Jews in Israel don't even serve Jesus Christ. Let it sink in. Let that sink in. And understand that this idea of this Darbyism is, 100 years old? It's relatively new. Come on in, Rochelle.
Good morning, Coach.
Hey, hang on a second, Rochelle. Hang on. Folks, can I tell you something? I don't really know what I believe. I'll be honest with you. I've done some research on it. I don't know. As my buddy Mark Harrington tells me, Mark's a pan-millennialist, meaning it'll all pan out in the end. I can't control any of it. And much of what is going on in American Christianity is we are trying to fulfill what we believe is written prophecy. Go ahead, Rochelle.
Okay. I just wanted to point out the scripture you brought up. Was it Genesis 12:3?
Yeah.
Genesis 12. Okay. I just want to point out something real important, because this is what they use to say why we those who bless Israel will be blessed. But that is not what it says, Coach. And let me just point this out, because this is what happens when we're brainwashed. We've been told this is what it meant. Okay, he's talking to Abraham right now. And he says, and I will bless them that bless you. Okay, he's talking to Abraham and cause him and curse thee and curse them that and through you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
Mm.
What I'm trying to stress here is that Abraham had Esau and Jacob.
Right.
Okay. He had two. It can't just be that the seed of Abraham are the blessed ones. Okay. It's not just his seed. It's definitely they're just blessing Abraham here. And my point being that the reason his nation and line was blessed is because it was to bring about the Messiah. So the only dispensation is before the Messiah and after the Messiah. Once the Messiah has come, his restoration, that what he came here to do, to take away the works of the wicked one, it's not different for the Jews than it is the Gentiles. It's not different. We all have the same path to salvation. What happens, the reason the book of Revelation, everybody wants to pull it in so many different directions, is because once you see all of that torment is meant specifically for the Jewish people, because they're not going to believe. They need all of that tribulation to realize they've been doing it wrong and they've been worshiping wrong, that the Son of God is real, is true. There is a Son of God. I mean, doesn't the Bible say anybody who denies the Son is Antichrist?
So, Rochelle, let me ask you this. You bring up some good things. Is a Jew saved by birthright?
No. How can they be saved by birthright? Because even people who were not in the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who became Israel, you know, the other side, who became what we would call the Islamic nations now, they're closer. They're actually closer. At least they acknowledge that Jesus was a prophet or a teacher or something. I mean, the Jews kind of want to deny him and spit on him and say that he's boiling in a, you know, the terrible things they say about our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to need, God wants to save everybody though. Okay.
You're sounding awful. I don't know, man. You sound awful anti-Jewish here. You sound awful anti-Semitic here. Rochelle.
I think it's unfortunate what's happened, because God's been hidden from them.
Yeah, right. You're not anti-Semitic, are you?
No, I pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because I don't want war. I don't want our kids getting killed. I don't want their kids getting killed. I love humanity.
Okay. So the question, I'm trying to play devil's advocate here a bit. Should we be in the Middle East just because of Israel? I guess that's the question. Does Bibi Netanyahu have the right to be violating international law, killing innocent, some of them Christians, because do we look the other way because they're God's chosen people?
You know, just saying that Bibi Netanyahu gets my pulse going. My heart is beating a million miles an hour. He's been saying that, this certain country is going to get the bomb since 2001, 2002, since before 9/11, actually.
How much money have we spent in the Middle East defending Israel?
Billions. And he is not even Jewish. Okay, he's Polish. He's Polish. He changed his last name. That's common knowledge.
Oh, so you're anti-Polak now. Is that what's it? I'm just saying.
I am Polish.
That's the way the game is played, Rochelle. That's the way the game is played. Right?
I know. The thing is, we need knowledge. We need to understanding so that we can play the game and be able to make our points quickly. We need to know the facts. Yes.
That's what I'm trying to do here. Okay? That's what I'm trying. I swear, I got so much stuff here. I'm trying to do. Jack, come on in. Thanks, Rochelle.
So my only response to this whole thing is my question. I don't give them an answer. I just give them a question. This week, when 12 Israelis died and 12 Muslims died, which ones went to heaven?
We know the answer. Jack, are you trying to make me anti-Semitic here?
Yes.
You're trying to do that to me, Jack, right?
You're bad.
So in other words, when 12 Muslims died and 12 non-believing Jews died, did the Jews go to heaven and the Muslims didn't? Is that the theology they want us to believe? Look, I'm just asking the questions here. I don't even know what I think. Roger, come on in. I'm sorry, Craig. Craig's next. Sorry. Go ahead, Craig.
So here would be my question, Coach. Here's my question. When's the first mention of Israel?
Tell me.
It's at Jacob, right? Jacob.
Yep. Jacob is Israel, right?
Right, Jacob becomes Israel. And the thing is most Christians are geologically, biblically illiterate. We ask, well, where did that take place? Okay, well, why it took place is it's important, okay, because these fill in the blanks that will answer the questions. One, it's about the land, okay, and the land was given to Abraham, which Rochelle is absolutely right, but it happened at Bethel. Now, where was Jacob's ladder? Like, we know where Jacob's ladder is, but do we know the city that it was at? Well, it was at Bethel. That's why I put in the chat there from Got Questions.
Let me make this simple, Craig. Are you Abraham's seed?
Well, here's the point, Coach. Okay, it doesn't matter because I'm under the blood of Christ. But what I'm trying to say is this battle over the land is still significant to God, because the kings of the earth, right, Psalm 2, right, are trying to control it. Bethel is where he put his head on that rock. Remember that? Remember he slept on the rock? Okay, so when he left from his parents and then he had the 12 kids, he comes back to Bethel and he goes back and he puts his head and he makes another pillar.
Okay, so Craig,
this is the Bible study. Wait a minute, hold on. When they say about Ted Cruz, you know, where's that in the Bible? Okay, I'm giving you information that's in the Bible now. And I understand we're at 2-minute levels here, so I can't put all this in 2 minutes.
I'm showing you this, Craig. Ted Cruz believed it and didn't even know where it was. Go ahead.
Okay. So what I'm trying to put out and say is when King Charles sat on that rock underneath his chair, let me bring it into, you know, the 21st century. Do you know what rock he was supposedly sitting on? The one that Jacob put his head on. And when he came back with his 12 kids, go back to Genesis 35. Jacob returns to Bethel and read what God says about what this land is. All right. And so what I'm trying to say is UNESCO, which controls the Hebron, where Abraham's buried and Jacob, okay, and where the Muslims control and let the Israelites or the Jewish people, okay. What I'm saying is the land's being fought over by world order people and to dissolve God's authority. Even though the Jews aren't a quote unquote right now, the current government isn't what we would consider, you know, Torah minding Jews. It's that God's going to reclaim that land. So read from Genesis 28 to Genesis 35 and read about Bethel and think about those things. And I'll answer any questions people can get me on the side.
Amen. Roger. Look, friends, look, I'm trying to keep this very, 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 very basic. Very basic, right? Craig took us on a deep dive. Praise the Lord, Craig, you took us on a deep dive. I'm asking you, why do you believe what you believe? Why do you believe? Huh? Is Benjamin Netanyahu going to heaven? Come on in, Roger.
Yeah, Coach, I just wanted to say that when Israel went into captivity, when they were allowed to go back, not all of them that went back were Jews. Some of them were Babylonians.
By the way, the Jews were only one of the 12 tribes, right?
Well, there were Jews were the actual 12 tribes, but the Ashkenazis were descended from Gomer.
Yep.
That wound up coming into Babylon and going back to Israel, and they settled back with Israel with the Jews went back. So, fast forward to where you are today, even the Lord told them that when he was here that they were Jew. There were people that say they were Jews and they're not. Okay,
but they're the synagogue of Satan.
Yeah.
Right?
What I wanted to say is what's happening in the last week. Iran was a deep state puppet put together by the Rothschilds. Ayatollah Khomeini was put in there by the Rothschilds when they dispelled the Shah.
Okay,
Iran.
Roger, you're dragging us down. I'm talking about I understand all that politics in the Middle East, but I don't want to discuss that today. What I want to discuss today is Israel God's chosen people, and should we be at war defending God's? That's because, folks, it's a theological position. Whether you want to admit it or not, it's a theological position. And our entire government, from a theological perspective, is defending Israel because Israel is God's chosen people. Whether you want to admit it or not, that's what's going on. Jeff Nares.
Hey, Coach, you asked earlier, you know, why are we over there? You know, and I, of course, you've got to factor in the money factor, I guess, you know, so they've got to keep the clay wet. They've got to keep the money machine rolling. Yep. And so they're shaping and molding is what I mean by wet clay. They're shaping and molding nations and the things that they need to do, all the while trying to look benevolent by helping, you know, like what Ted Cruz says, helping the Jewish people because they're God's chosen people and so on. Another fact. So that's what it's really about in the big secular picture. The secular picture, that's what it is. It's the money machine. You got to keep it rolling, keep it rolling, keep it rolling somehow, some way throughout the world. That's it. On another note, you've got those Jews that follow the Torah. You've got those Jews that follow Talmud. And there's a big distinction there.
We'll get into it. They don't even agree. They don't even agree. Thanks.
Not even.
Hey, folks, look, I'm not here to argue. Okay. I don't argue theology. I'm just telling you. There are a lot of different views, and I'm trying to get them on the table. I'm not trying to get you to believe what I believe, because I'm going to tell you, I really don't know. Lauren, come on.
Coach, I got my hand up.
Just mic real quick.
Go ahead, Lauren.
Okay. Instead of saying the 12 tribes, just say the 12 bloodlines, and that will get you to understand. And you have to look at when you're researching all of this, you have to look at the context of the culture and the context of the scriptures. And you can call it whatever you want, but without having a context of what's actually being taught, instead of going off of an oracle, off of what somebody else researched and studied, we're called to have ourselves showed and approved. Just we're supposed to study it, figure it out. Because we need to understand it, not based on what somebody else told us.
So when I got saved on January 28th, 1987, all of a sudden I was fed dispensationalism as truth. Are you with me? That's the point I'm making.
Right.
That's the point I'm making.
And the point that I'm making with you is, what have you done? You've researched it. You've studied it. You're questioning it. You're doing it. Yes. Jesus didn't say just do what I, you know, he told him, go out. Does scripture also says God doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to the saving knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. But it's all comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So whether you're an Israeli, a Muslim, you know, a unicorn who spits out glitter, it doesn't matter.
Let's go on, Randy. Come on,
all of you know Jesus Christ.
Come on, Randy.
Coach, you're what you're trying to do here, I it's easy to go down rabbit trails, y'all. Okay, but let's focus on what Coach is doing. He's trying to lay the premise with one premise. And dispensationalism teaches, let's don't even think about eschatology, but it teaches who is Israel. It's that people on that land, that's Israel. Well, replacement theology, if you want to call it whatever, you can put anything on that and call it a name you don't like. But the Orthodox teaching, Coach, what you're trying to show us, everybody, is that Israel was the church. It was the church. It wasn't the Jewish people standing on that land. It wasn't that physical location no more. Now, according to Paul, that like we've been taught for 1,500 years, it's the church. It is the believers, the body of believers. That is the true Israel. So what Coach is trying to say, Coach, I hope I can come through. I'm on my phone and I'm driving.
You're okay.
But what you're trying to keep us on the premise is why if we're, I was a dispensational Christian well, my first 27 years of my life, Coach. Finally heard a teaching other than that made more sense. It's more biblical, and I had to change. I had to change once I knew the difference. So I had that viewpoint, Coach, but I don't think it's correct. So I'm going to go with covenant theology because I believe it's accurate.
Here's the point. I'm going to tell you this, friends. You believe what you believe because somebody taught it to you. That's why. Judah, come on in. Bob Haven's right. Hang on. We'll get you next, Bob. Judah, you there?
Yeah. I think this is relevant, and it actually ties in really a lot of the points that everyone's made this morning. And it's fascinating because you brought up Ted Cruz. Now get your pencils out. Take some notes. Understand this. Ted Cruz is who? When we talk about bloodlines, when we talk about families, and how some of these senators or congressmen are in the halls of the Capitol for how many years? Year after year after year after year. And we go into Kennedy when he was assassinated. Get to understand this. Right now, Trump, their team, I'm just going to say Trump. Again, the generals behind Trump, they're opening your eyes. You're going to see a slogan coming out about Trump. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Ted Cruz, when Oswald was shot, who's Ted Cruz's father?
Raphael.
Why was Raphael Cruz all over the Kennedy assassination? I'm going somewhere with this.
Yeah, you are. But hurry up, though, man. I got a lot of people want to talk.
You're bringing up Israel.
Right.
We're bringing up World War One. What years were World War One? 1914 through 1918. The last pandemic. We're talking about control of the world. We're talking about biblical times. Israel. Balfour Agreement. The Rothschilds, 1914 through 1948. The control and the boundaries set around what they now claim is Israel. Israel was not a specific location and exact boundaries and government. That was designed and created to lock down and control that region of the world. And when you understand the Freemason left and the right, Israel the right, Iran the left, they captured both operations. The control grid at that point, when you understand the Rothschild Bank, the Balfour Agreement, was to be able to say, hey, we're going to create the boogeyman on the left and on the right. This was the control. And you got to bring in the Scofield Bible at the time because of World War One. They set the agenda. People have to go to the education from 1914, be prior. You got to go back prior to when Albert Pike wrote Morals and Dogma. You go back into the 1800s. There was a war that was happening that's not necessarily written and shown to the world in every school education. This was the Freemason War. This was getting rid of the Freemasons' agenda. Their agenda was to create these World War III, World War IVs.
Federal Reserve.
this was boxing in Israel in this control grid. If people don't understand the history of it, they can't get to today and they can't understand it because, like you said, our church has programmed us wrong. And that is a hard pill for people to swallow. Until you're willing to digest the history of who these families are, and we're going to go straight back, these families, fallen angels, and once you understand Mount Hermon and these people and the controllers of what they're doing, nothing makes sense until you understand and have a solid biblical foundation. And here's what's interesting. The fallen angels and Mount Hermon, here's what's really interesting. None of the 66 books of the Bible actually explain it. Hark! Why would they censor and take that out of the Bible that most people read? And then all the pastors from Oral Roberts University and all these other people in Copeland teach all these other topics, but they leave out all this other stuff.
Mm.
It is absolutely fascinating because they are hiding all these evil empires, the controllers, the puppeteers. And once you start to understand that, fast forward. You had the pandemic in 1917 when everyone wore the masks again. Anybody know that was called World War I? That was a psychological, biological operation happening then. Happened again in the 70s. Hark, it happened again in 2020. The culmination of understanding these different wars and the agenda to where we're at this point. Here's what's great. They're opening the box and showing who's your daddy.
Yeah, we're going to find out. John, they got to move on here, Bob. Come on in, Bob.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. The way I get this here is God has a plan, okay? And the only way we can know that plan is in the Bible. What does the Bible say? So we go back and we understand that the Jews are in Jerusalem. Go back to the Old Testament, and it explains it, that they were separated. So it's not Israel, but it's the Jewish nation. It's one of the tribes, the 12 tribes, the Jewish, the Judah, the tribe of Judah. Stayed in Jerusalem. Okay, the other tribes we understand were scattered into Europe, Great Britain, and then into America.
Yes,
sir. We are part of those lost tribes here in America.
Yes, sir.
So Judah is our brother. We are brother. The Jews are our brother, and God is bringing these two sticks, the nation of his whole nation, back together in these last days, so that when Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, comes back, this nation will be back together again, and Jesus will rule on this earth for 1,000 years.
Amen.
And there's a whole lot more to it that I'm not really smart enough or good enough.
The Israeli Jews are our brothers, not our rulers, folks.
Exactly.
They're not above us. Do you understand that?
They are our brothers. They are one of the 12 tribes, okay? We are part of those lost tribes that were. You can study it all out. It's all in the Bible, okay? And if you really want a guy that could really explain it good, get old Shane Bond back on here, Professor Toto, because he has got the revelation of this thing and can explain it. But that's it. And also, there are allies, you know, politically, I guess you'd say there are allies. So we protect them, you know, if you want to look at it in the natural, but there's a spiritual thing going on that God is doing in these last days. And we just have to go look and see what the Bible says. That's the thing. Thank you.
Jack, thanks. Thanks, Bob. Go ahead, Jack.
Okay, so I got another question for you. I'm full of questions today. So we refer to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people. Okay, so I want to know when they did that. When was the corporate repentance happening so that they would be restored? See?
The Jews you're talking about?
Yeah. If my people, which was in the Old Testament. It was written to the Jews. If my people are called by my name, will do what? I'll
do. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Yep.
Then what?
I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and heal their land. And
restore their land.
And they deny Jesus to this point. Still deny Jesus.
So when did 2 Chronicles 7:14 happen?
Jack, Rochelle, quickly. I got someone to get in here. I'm sorry. Go, Rochelle.
Hey, thank you, Coach. Okay, so I just wanted to mention another. We've all heard of the Sadducees and Pharisees. Yep. Okay, I'm bringing it back to Bible because this is what the problem is. People think they've been taught the truth. There's a whole nother sect called the Essenes. And John the Baptist was an Essene. You've heard of the Essenes because they are the ones from the Dead Sea Scrolls at Qumran. Anyway, they were actually looking for a servant king. And these people became Christians, okay, or followers of the way. And I have this book, Coach, The End Times, by the ancient church fathers. And in this book right here, it doesn't talk anything about a reunification the way of Israel. The Bible does. The Bible speaks of them coming back in unbelief. And it's through the signs of the end times that brings them back to a belief that they missed their Messiah. They missed it.
So deep. This thing is so deep. We can run down 16 different rabbit holes, right? That's part of what's been going on, right? Yeah. The average Christian in America thinks we're supposed to support the Jews, and they don't even know why. They don't even know why. They asked Ted Cruz why, and he couldn't even tell you why. Couldn't even tell you why. Gino, come on in.
Yeah, who is a true Jew? The Jews were divided, like Bob was talking about, like what he was saying, because there's the tribes of Judah and the 10 tribes of Israel. They're divided. The bones in the valley that the Bible talks about are coming alive right now. We don't know it. Because they're still disassembled. They're coming alive.
Amen. David Arthur. Lynn Dale.
So we celebrated Kwanzaa 2 years ago just to experience it and read about the Maccabees. And my nephew and my sister came over and they said, well, you know, we're not Jewish. Why are we celebrating Kwanzaa? And the simplest answer I could figure for them was Jewish is not a nationality. It's a people.
Amen.
That's it. That's all I can think of.
It's a bloodline that you can be grafted into.
This Amen.
This is so simple. Dale.
Well, Coach, I think as a pastor, I can take the Bible out of this and just look at this Israel thing, the nation of Israel. We weren't defending them prior to 1948, Coach. Let's just be real. So part of that came around. We can't forget history that Adolf Hitler, which caused that, and I believe really did, set that thing up. When he's murdering these people that were in his country, what that created is that they create, you ready, Coach? The victim card. We're victims. We're victims. Yep. And there was no prior to 1948 that we were defending Israel. There was nothing that, hey, we're going to send you bombs, bullets, and everything else. Something. So who created this Israel in 1948? So this... Mm. Because from that point on, do we see this thing? And all of a sudden, the talking of dispensationalism and defending it was never brought up prior to that, Coach.
So, Dale, let me ask you real quickly. Who are God's chosen people, Dale?
It's really simple, man. The two of the most profound things is when John the Baptist looked at the Pharisees and Sadducees and he says, out of these rocks, God can raise up children. Out of these rocks. And when you read Peter, it says, we are now what? Living stones jointly fitted together, building the house of God. We are. Paul said there's no longer Jew nor Gentile.
That's what he said.
So that part of it is one thing. But I'm addressing this Israel. And I believe, listen, as a country, how many bombs would America allow, missiles or Gaza Strip, for them to throw things into our country by the thousands as that it's been? Blowing up a building or blowing and how many of those bullets would we tolerate, Coach, before we would obliviate that nation? right? So, right. But Israel itself, the defense of that came around Adolf Hitler, World War II, in 1948. Now, all of a sudden, we're talking about Israel and who created that situation over in Israel in 1948.
Amen, amen. Judah, then Dave. Quickly, Judah.
Coach, he brings up a profound statement about the Balfour Agreement. And from obviously 1914 to 1948, you got to understand. So as we're digging into this, who are the Rothschilds doing business with before that agreement came into place? This is fascinating. So the U.S. Chamber of Commerce was created in what year? Anybody know?
No.
1914. What year did the Titanic sink? Anybody know?
14.
1912. So now you start to understand J.P. Morgan and the entire banking system and the Federal Reserve. This is where we're skating to. The Federal Reserve, once it took control, started implementing its entire Israel, banking, Schofield, Freemason group. Now, Coach talks about it all the time, kings of the earth. Why is the U.S. Chamber of Commerce so important? And I'll also tell you this, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, their address in Washington, D.C. is 13. The 13 bloodlines of the fallen angels. And if you understand, you cannot sit on the U.S. Chamber of Commerce unless documented. You have to be a 33rd degree Freemason. The kings of the earth, who are the people on the U.S. Chamber of Commerce? All of corporate America's CEOs and presidents who were appointed. Appointed by whom? The Rothschild Bank in Israel.
David Allison, come on in quickly.
Yeah, real quick, Coach. So who's got the higher moral ground here, Iran or America, when it comes to God's vision? Who's got the higher moral ground? In my opinion, thanks for the history lessons, everybody, but in my opinion, God's going to bring judgment on the world because of our ungodliness. And he'll use whoever he wants, and it might be Iran or Russia, whoever, might be Jamaica.
Listen, folks, Israel doesn't get off scot-free just because they happen to be God's chosen people and can pillage and murder and blow up. That doesn't sound like Jesus Christ to me. I don't know. Johnny, quickly.
Boom.
Yeah, I just want to go off what Judas said. In 1912, the Titanic sunk, and then the Chamber of Commerce was formed in 1914. What was formed in 1913? The Federal Reserve.
Federal Reserve. Amen. Amen. What a tangled web we weave. Jack McCarthy. Jack, we got 1 minute.
1 minute. Quickly. Okay. Which country, take the two countries, Iran and Israel, which one is easier to get an abortion in, and which one is more homosexual?
Oh, my goodness. So look, see, here is the only defense, and I'll be sitting here by my computer most of the day. Do not call me anti-Semitic. Please don't call me anti-Semitic. The facts speak for what they are. And when you realize who's in control, when you figure out who you can't criticize. You're not allowed to criticize. It's the same thing going on in racism. Anytime you say anything against a black leader, you're racist. Anytime you say anything against a Jewish person, oh, you're anti-Semitic. I am so sick and tired of that stuff. And can I tell you why? We do not know our history. We do not understand who we are, where we are, how we got here, and where we're going. Because why? The evangelifish churches have been invaded, and they're teaching things that simply are not true.
Boom.
See you tomorrow.